Welcome to Liberty Vineyard, and welcome to those listening online. I'm Alan, and this is my wife, Nancy. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together to learn, to experience you. We would ask that you would speak to each heart, and that at the end of the time, each person would know you a little bit better and love you a little bit more. In Jesus' name. So last week we started the Vineyard 5-Step Prayer Model. And we'll have a brief overview. And the first thing is, this is a model. This is a suggestion. It's not a mandate. This is not the only way to pray. This is just a process to help you keep on track. The first step is the interview, to introduce yourself, to find out what the other person's name is that you're praying for if you don't know them, to listen to their request, and at the same time listen to God and see what He has to say about this person. It's wisdom to pray in pairs, so that one can be listening, praying. The other one can be listening and listening to God, because both we all hear God differently, and we may hear different things. We ask a basic question: what do you want God to do for you today? Or where does it hurt? What would you like for me to pray for you about today? The interview is not a medical diagnosis time. We don't have to go into depth. We just have to get the general idea of what they want prayer for.
All right, then the next step is the diagnosis or the diagnostic decision. So we're trying to discern what's at the root of this request. Is it a natural circumstance? Is it a supernatural circumstance? Is this a forgiveness issue? What is the issue? Is their body sick, their soul sick? What's going on? And as we're discerning the root, then we decide what kind of prayer we're going to pray. And so we're listening to God carefully at this point. This all happens kind of fast, but we're explaining it in long sentences. But when you're actually praying for somebody, it happens quite speedily. So we're taking time to slow it down and learn all of this. And then when it's in the moment, you'll be able to pick from different things. So we're listening to God carefully. And sometimes someone will come and ask for something that's not really what God wants to deal with, but you have to get that prayed for first before you can get underneath. So symptoms in one area of our life can be caused by another problem. And for instance, you might present with arthritis. Somebody may come forward and want prayer for arthritis. Well, that could be it. You could pray for arthritis, but at the root of it could be bitterness, that the bitterness of their soul has manifested in arthritis in their body. Or if they have an inability to have healthy relationships, sustain healthy relationships, they might have had an emotional trauma. But you might have to pray for the relationships before you can get down to the root, to the trauma. And then if you're praying for healing and they're not healed, it could be that they have some unbelief. Maybe a doctor told them this is incurable, and they're believing the words of the doctor more than the God who can reverse what the doctor has said. And so we're going to ask at this point, Lord, what is it you're doing? And ask the Lord for words of knowledge. Ask the Lord for spiritual insight. If you're praying in pairs, then one person can really be listening while the other person is praying and engaging the prayee or the prayer recipient at that point.
It's important to listen to God and to ask God questions. If you receive a picture, a mental image, you may want to ask God, what does this mean, and how do I pray it? A speaker we heard said he was at a conference with the pastor and the pastor's elders, and he was praying for all the elders. He came to one elder, and he got this mental picture of this elder stabbing the pastor in the back. Now, he could have just gone and prayed that, but that's not what God had in mind. So he stopped and he asked God, "What do you want me to pray? How should I? I mean, you've given me the picture. I think I understand what it means. How do I pray this?" And God gave him the insight to call this elder forward to be the man who has the pastor's back, the man who will defend and protect the pastor. And the elder broke down in tears. And later in that weekend, he went to the speaker and said, "You don't know what I've been doing." And the speaker said, "Oh, yes, I do. I just know what God has called you to." So it's important, if you see something, if you hear something, to ask God, what does it mean and how do I pray it? They may be telling you one thing and God may be telling you something different. Ask questions tactfully. So if they say, "I have arthritis," you may not want to say, "What are you bitter about?" You may not want to say, "Who have you not forgiven?" And instead ask, "Is there somebody that has hurt you that you're having trouble forgiving?" We get impressions from God, and I don't know about y'all, but I often get it wrong. So I like to approach things a little gently, and have them give affirmation to what I feel like I've heard or thought. Learn how to listen to God. Different people hear God in different ways. Scripture talks about hearing God speaking in dreams and visions and dark sayings, in circumstances, in Scripture, through the church. So God has lots of ways that He communicates with us. We just sometimes need to learn, how do we listen? How does He communicate with us? And remember that people don't get healed because of our great, wonderful prayers, but because of our great, wonderful God.
Amen. And we could be getting it wrong. And of course, we're not here to wound people with our prayer ministry. We're here to help be the conduit of God and not, you know, be trying to fix them or advise them. We're here to hear from God and pray. So when we come to the prayer selection, we've been through the interview, we've been through the diagnostic decision. Now we've got different kinds of prayer we can choose to pray. And one of them would be thinking about, well, what just happened in the diagnostic decision? And so we're going to ask the Holy Spirit what kind of prayer will help this person. What is it God wants to do at this moment? And praying according to God's will on the prayee's behalf or the prayer recipient. So if there was physical sickness, emotional sickness, or spiritual sickness that they brought up or that we found out in the diagnostic part, then we would pray for physical healing or emotional healing or spiritual healing. Examples for physical healing, we would speak peace to their body, healing or balance to the affected part of the body. We would command the sickness to leave in the name of Jesus, perhaps, or speaking to a body part to function, like back, come into alignment with the purposes of God. We could speak that. But if there's emotional healing needed, then we might just gently come alongside and invite the Lord to heal memories or to speak peace over their mind, a renewing of the mind, or that they can have their right mind. Speaking prophetically, what the Holy Spirit is saying to the person, we might have a word of encouragement that's downloaded to us that we can speak. And then we might also have to invite the person to renounce any self-hatred that they might be experiencing and forgiving themselves and just renouncing the lies that they believed about themselves. A spiritual healing would include salvation. Maybe this is the first time they need to accept the Lord Jesus. Or what if they felt powerless and helpless and they wanted spiritual power? They just felt like they had no spiritual power to go on in their life. Well, we could pray for that dunamis power of God, that spiritual empowerment. We could affirm their gifting. Like we had an example. I was going to affirm one of our members, you know, who just showed the gift of encouragement, the gift of evangelism, the gift of speaking life to someone. And we can do that. Come alongside and pray and affirm the gifting we see. We can help somebody confess sin and pronounce forgiveness. We can also have opportunity for a season of deliverance. What if they're bound by something that's really holding them? We can break the power of that chain that's holding them.
There are different ways of approaching God in prayer. One of them is pray directly towards God. Praying in the Spirit often is helpful to clear your mind as well as prepare the other person. God often works as we pray in the Spirit. Another way is intercession, where you are praying or come in agreement for someone else who's not there. God, we intercede on the behalf of so-and-so that you would whatever they're asking for. Faith is important in prayer. But then again, I don't know that we'll be praying for people if we don't have faith that God's going to answer, because that would just seem futile to us. But don't feel like you have to be a giant of faith to pray and to have God answer your prayers. There's a story in Mark 9:24 where a man's son was sick and he went to God or to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus said something to the effect of, "If you believe." And the man responded and said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Another one's petition. We can ask God to do things. We can petition him on our behalf, on another person's behalf, on people's behalf.
And then there's the prayer spoken in the authority of God, where faith rises up in you and you can speak in the authority of God, like in a deliverance prayer where you take authority over a spirit, you speak to a demon or a specific condition and tell it to stop its activity in the name of Jesus. You can command by faith. Remember Peter at the Gate Beautiful, where there was this paralytic, and in Acts 3:6, Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so you can have a word of command. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, this word of command could be about physical healing. In the name of Jesus, cancer, stop growing. In the name of Jesus, arthritis, be healed. I speak to this eye, open. I speak, see, walk, straighten. But it usually comes with a burst of faith. I haven't had this happen very many times in my life. But if it happens and it's the Holy Spirit, go with it. You just want to be careful that you're not wounding somebody by an exuberant burst of your own optimism. You need a burst of faith that God wants to do this, and you're agreeing with God and what God wants to do.
We can pray with in agreement with what God is already doing. We can bless what the Holy Spirit is already doing and ask Him for more, a deeper work. We can confirm what God is doing. God can give us physical signs in prayer. So we may get a tingling. We may get what some people have called sympathetic pain. So if you're praying for someone and all of a sudden your leg starts hurting, your leg doesn't normally hurt. This is a new and strange thing. It may be that their leg is hurting and God's kind of showing you in your body what their body's going through. And you might ask them if you get that situation, you know, does your leg hurt? Because if they haven't told you that, that would help them to believe that you really hear from God, that you're calling out what God is telling you. So you can speak what you sense God is doing in them.
All right, if we turn in our Bibles to John chapter 4, after the woman at the well story, there's another story in John chapter 4, starting in verse 46, where Jesus comes again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. And sure enough, his son lived. So that's like a pronouncement. Go, your son will live. Well, that takes a lot of faith. There was one speaker we heard on the radio who had gone to, he was a pastor, and he had gone to this couple who were having marital problems, and they were having marital problems because they had no child, and they were blaming each other for this lack of having a child. And so he stepped out in faith, and he said, "This time next year, you will hold a child." And then he went back to the car, and he said, "Oh, God, help me, help me. You've got to confirm your word." And sure enough, that time next year, they held a child. But that's unusual. We don't just walk around pronouncing things are going to happen outside of what God has given us power to do. So I don't have a lot of those stories. There's one where my friend and I prayed for a little boy named Jordan. And it was years ago, and Jordan's head was fused, and he was little, and unless his head would open up, then his brain wouldn't be able to grow, and he was like a few months old, and it was gonna just be devastating. This child wouldn't grow, and so we just prayed to God, and we pronounced the parting of the Jordan, you know, just like we had faith for this, and Jordan's head opened up and his brain was allowed to grow. And I wish I had a story from this week that happened, but that's from years ago, and I don't know where Jordan is today. But God can do marvelous, miraculous things and stir faith in us to pray boldly. So then there's prayers that facilitate a process of healing, like a prayer of surrender. If you have something that you haven't given to God, we sang in worship this morning about, you know, that essence of surrendering everything. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you myself. I give you my all. Aiding them in turning over anything that's between them and God. You invite them to surrender. What about a prayer of forgiveness? What if they're having trouble forgiving? Well, you know, just being willing, just praying and being willing to forgive, being willing to help them release a debt that they think somebody owes them. And it's really possible somebody owes them, but you stand with them and say, yes, somebody owes you, but let's release that and let God minister. Let God minister. And just simple prayers. Remember, this doesn't have to be complicated. Words, putting a lot of words with this, but it could just be, come, Lord, more, Lord, help, Lord, hear, Lord. Just simple. It doesn't have to be flowery language. Just make it simple. Okay, and then what about if they've lost a loved one? There's a prayer that would facilitate their grieving process, helping them let go of a person and feeling the loss of a person, a place, or a thing that they're holding on to. You know, sometimes grief can be complicated if it becomes irrational or it becomes complicated with they just lost one person, they didn't grieve that well, and then there's another person they lost or another thing they lost or another thing. This is where I really want to say my mom's done so well in this last year because she lost her health, then she lost her house, then she she gave away her furniture, her jewelry, her books, her paintings. She's sitting in a nursing home with no very few worldly possessions, and she's content and loving that she was able to relinquish all of these things, bless others with all of these things, and that's spiritual maturity for her to be able to be that way. So she's really done well with grieving the loss of her independence. So now, once you've decided what type of prayer is needed, it's time to pray, right? We've had all of this talking about, we interviewed somebody, we diagnosed it, kind of, and, you know, had them help us, and we've decided, okay, this is the kind of prayer we're going to pray, so it's time to pray. And we might run into situations we don't know how to pray. So let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 gives us great help and great assurance that even if we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray. So in Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, right? None of us. We're not experts. We're not college graduates in prayer. We come along as children and ask the Lord for help. In the same way, the Spirit helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So that's so freeing, that when we're saying, come, Holy Spirit, more, Lord, help, Lord, hear their cry, Lord, that God is doing all that work in us, and the Holy Spirit's praying through us, and it's simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. So knowing that when we have faith to even say, yes, we'll pray, that the Holy Spirit meets us in whatever level of faith we have, in whatever articulation ability we have, just being sensitive to the Lord, the Holy Spirit knows what the will of God is and can and does pray through us.
So the fourth step is the prayer engagement. Pray believing that God will speak with you. And don't be afraid to fail. Like I told you last week, I prayed for two people for healing and both of them died. And I was ready to give up. John Wimber said, pray for 500 before you decide if this thing works or not. You have to get enough prayers under your belt to have a good track record, to know whether it's going to happen. The book of Acts is full of talk about the apostles laying their hands on people. Acts 6:6. Acts 8:14-17 says, now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they accepted the Holy Spirit. Remember to always ask the prayee if it's okay to lay hands on them. Some of them may be recovering from sexual abuse or incest, or some of them may just feel very uncomfortable being touched, and we want to honor that feeling. Pray with your eyes open. It helps you understand what is happening to them if you're praying with your eyes open. You're more aware of how the Spirit is moving and what's going on with them. You can stop in the middle of your prayer and ask, how are you doing? Is this ministering to you? Is this meeting? Do you get a witness in your spirit about this prayer? Are we getting it right? This will not interrupt the flow or what the Holy Spirit is doing.
So then we're going to watch for the presence of the Holy Spirit on the person. You know, they might have a little gentle shaking or trembling. It can be anything from a gentle trembling to a violent shaking or just being overcome by the Spirit. And they might just lay on the ground. And the effects of the Spirit can go anywhere from the duration of the prayer for days after. There's some people that have been prayed for and they woke up healed the next day. It wasn't that day that they got their healing, but it continued. The effects of the prayer continued. So the violent shaking might have something to do with the demonic presence, but then again, it may not. And I know that there's no need for fear. If somebody is manifesting a demon right there, then we have the Holy Spirit, and we can deal with that. And if you're praying in pairs, it's really easy to do that. You can also raise your hand and get help if you're in over your head. But I remember at a revival meeting, there was somebody who came to the pastor and said, Pastor, there's a demon over there. And the pastor said, is it coming or going? It's really important to know. Is the demon leaving or coming? And so that was just knowing that we have the power. And remember, Jesus sent out the 72 and gave them power. He sent out disciples and gave them power and said, you know, I give you power and nothing shall by any means harm you. And so know that. Just know that. We want to be the connection or the conduit between God and these folks. We're not there to fix them. We're not there to sermonize or advise in prayer. We're there to pray. And many of us have heard prayers where the person praying was trying to solve the problem. Has anybody felt like somebody prayed for them and they were solving the problem or trying to advise them or fix them in the prayer? We're not there for that. You know, and an example would be, oh God, help them to know that you want them to such and such, you know, whatever that is. And we don't want to pray the problem. You know, this is such a horrible mess, God, and enumerate all the bad things. You know, we're not there to pray the problem. We're praying that God's kingdom would come and God's will would be done. And we want to pray God's kingdom more than the complaint, right? So ask God when you're going up to pray for somebody or when you're starting to pray for somebody, guard your heart, right? Not to add any judgment to anyone. They, no matter what they present with, we don't want to judge anyone. Who knows that little song? It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Remember that. You know, we are loved, they are loved, and we're the ones who are accompanying them, but we don't have to judge them. And if they feel loved, they're more likely to get help than if they feel judged. So we're going to invite the Holy Spirit in the prayer time. We're going to watch for physical signs. We're going to pray with our eyes open. We might see shaking. We might see tears. We might see trembling. We might see a fluttering of eyelids, a slight perspiration, any of these kind of signs, like a weighing down or a heaviness. Or they might exhibit a peaceful, calm body. You know, at some point in the prayer, there's going to be a, you know, and when we're praying, if God reminds us of one of God's names, we may want to use that. Like if we're praying for somebody who feels hopeless, well, then we can invite the God of hope to be there. If someone just sees darkness, we can invite the God of light. If someone doesn't feel loved, we invite love. God is love.
So we can ask what's happening. One of the questions is, when do we stop? When do we stop praying? So there's a couple of ideas. One of them is when the prayee indicates that it's over. That's probably a good time to stop. When you believe God has told you to stop. That's a good time to stop. When you run out of things to pray, you should probably stop. And when nothing is happening, at some point you need to stop. Now, if nothing seems to be happening, understand that God likes to work with different people in different ways. We have seen people healed instantly. But my experience is I normally don't get the effects of the prayer until the next day. I don't know why. Maybe I'm slow. But it just seems to be I'll get prayed for today and tomorrow morning I'll wake up and realize the effects of that prayer. Healing is sometimes slow. Sometimes when we pray for healing, the person will wake up the next day and the pain won't be quite as much. And the second day out, the pain's less. And the third day, the pain's less until the pain's gone. But it may take a couple of 3 or 4 days. I told you about people praying for me when I was in the hospital. And God answering by showing the surgeon how to put me back together like a patchwork quilt. So step 5 is post-prayer direction. When somebody's asked for prayer, we may have something that we want to recommend them to do after we've prayed for them. If we don't feel like anything's happened, we probably want to invite them to continue to ask for prayer. Not just this once, but keep asking God for this. If we're praying for healing and the illness problem has been diagnosed with a doctor, we don't want to tell them, go throw away all your medicines, you're healed. We want them to go back to the doctor and be checked out. If God healed them, the doctor's going to have to say, you don't have it anymore. And then you can throw away your medicine when he tells you to throw away your medicine.
Or she.
Or she. We may want to give them advice. We may want to advise them to get into a small group of believers or to find an accountability partner that will ask them the hard questions that they would be able to keep on a straight path. We may want to remind them to stay in the scriptures, to keep reading, to stay in fellowship, to do the things that we need to do to keep our Christian faith vital and alive, to do the things that are necessary. Although discipleship and staying in scripture is an integral aspect of the healing process, there's no healthy life that we're aware of, a healthy Christian life, without that fellowship. God has said we, plural, are the body of Christ, not me individually. Scripture tells us to let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
So we would just want to do some concluding remarks at this point. Everybody can play. That's a Vineyard thing. Everybody can play. Everybody can pray. We all have some kind of faith. And we want to treat people the way we want to be treated, protect their dignity, protect their confidentiality. You don't want to be praying for somebody and then the next minute you're telling some other person, oh, guess what I prayed for? No, this is between you and them and the Holy Spirit. This is confidential. This isn't about announcing to the whole church, I prayed for this person. No, protect their dignity, protect their reputation. We can't heal. Only God can. And we are God's instruments. And if God doesn't do it, it's God's responsibility and God is big enough to carry it. So we don't want to be staking our reputation on whether our prayers are answered or not. It's not about us. We are instruments. We're asking the great God who can answer great prayers, simple prayers, complicated prayers, little prayers, big prayers. God is big. Let's bring God's bigness into this session with this person to help them feel more loved. If they feel more loved, more appreciated, more accepted, they're going to be more open to be healed or to be set free or to surrender all the things that we want to do to grow in Christ. The great God can help us invite them without fixing them, advising them, or wounding them with our prayers. So let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the Vineyard five-step model. Thank you for the elements of it, the model of it, and the invitation to join you in seeing people get well, seeing people become healed, seeing people become whole, and seeing people feel more loved. And so we ask that as we practice this model, as we pray for one another, that you'll help us, you'll teach us, you'll enable us, you'll empower us, you'll give us grace for this journey of learning to pray with others and bring their requests to you, knowing that you delight to hear the prayers of your children and you delight to answer. So let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and help us as we partner with you in praying for others. In Jesus' name, amen.